Thank you, Shane, for that song. It goes well with what I'm thinking this morning. I prepared for this and am operating on a sleep debt that I plan to remedy this afternoon. but I have not often been as excited about something as I'm studying it as I am about this. I want to point us to God this morning in praise by recognizing Him as the Lord of creation. We say this a lot, that He's the Creator. It's one of the things in the list of His attributes that we're fond of. And we ascribe that to Him. We know He's the Creator, but I think I have had the tendency, as much as I enjoy noticing what's around me, to be a deist and say, well, yeah, of course He created it, but I think He kind of moves on to bigger projects and cares about what's happening in the physical creation, but what's really important is the things that don't involve atoms and matter. I don't think that's true. Obviously, creation is not, the physical creation we see is not the highest thing, but you can't read Scripture without realizing it's very important. It's important partly because God made it, but it's also a messenger. Thinking several things, we have a liturgy that I have found drew me to worship, and we want to read that together, but a couple thoughts first. Creation calls us to God. That's the one thing I'm noticing. There's one of my favorite Saturdays ever. It was when I was living in Nevada. I had a day off from baling hay. I drove to the Diamond Mountains, which were about 6 miles from where I lived, and spent most of the day hiking along the rocky spine of those mountains. There weren't even trees up there. It was just incredibly desolate and thrilling. And I remember thinking, this is what I'm, I don't know if I thought about it in this many words, this is what I'm made to do. This is where I belong. And I think about that a little differently now. We use the term the call of the wild, or the call of the rainforest, or whatever happens to flip the switches of wonder in your heart. I think it's the call of the Creator. And we're all different, so different things in creation draw us to wonder and awe us differently. I think it's the call of the Creator. So creation calls us to God, but it is not God. And here's where we see the mistake made often in cultures who have, in their efforts to find God, have looked around and correctly noticed that creation is pointing them to something. They're without excuse, in fact, according to the Bible, just on the testimony of creation. But then, like humans tend to do, they reduced it. Here's the God of this, then we have a God of this, and a God of this. So creation is not God. There are verses that talk about people who start worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. So I definitely am not calling us to do that. We recognize God as the Lord and the Redeemer of all things created. And while we are not deists that believe God created the physical matter and then let it coast out into whatever happens to it and went on to bigger projects or other projects, whether or not they're bigger, we're not deists, and we do not divide our experience up into we have a God of this and a God of this and a God of this. We can still have that tendency. And while we appreciate the things around us, and I speak for myself because that's my only frame of reference, I have tended sometimes in my life especially, to, I have my spiritual experience, then I have my appreciation for nature, and they're kind of separate. I have to make sure the appreciation for nature doesn't get too big, and I don't think it has to be. It's not a balance. God is Lord of all. There is no truth that is not God's truth, if in fact it is truth. And there is nothing created that is not God's, even though we experience it in a broken and possibly deluded or whatever other adjective there form today. The clicker does not work from up here, so Josh and I have agreed upon a secret word. So if I say next, that's the next. A little direction. So the italics, non-bolded words are mine, and then the bold, non-italicized words are yours. And pardon the formatting, I went with different colors for different slides depending on the picture. So do your best to read. Do your best to read together, and I apologize if it's hard to read. I want us to bring our worship of God into every little corner of our lives. Our experience Sunday morning listening to a sermon is different from noticing the monarchs flying through this time of year. But it's still God. It's still His truth. It's still His glory. And it's exciting to me to recognize that He is Lord of all these things. He's the creator of all these things, and all these parts of our experience, they're not just things to balance against our spiritual experience. They can point us, they can enrich that, and they point us to God. Because in some way, creation is going to be redeemed, and I don't know if it's going to consist of the exact same types of atoms as it does now. My personal opinion is it will, but I don't know that. We're going to exist in some physical form, or else we don't need our bodies, is how I understand that. But either way, there's redemption going to happen to all things, not just the destruction of spiritual darkness that has overtaken so much of our world. Our thoughts of you, O Lord, have been too small, too few. For seldom have we considered how specific is the exercising of your authority, extending as it does into the myriad particulars of creation. There is no quarter over which you are not king. As creation hurtles toward its liberation and redemption, the full implications of your deep lordship are yet to be revealed in countless facets unconsidered. Christ, you are the snow king. You are the maker of all weathers. You are the king of sunlight and storms, the king of gray skies and rain. You are the rain king, the sun king, the hurricane king. You are the king of autumn and the king of spring. I'll pause there a bit. I think we start asking the question, are we saying that all of those cultures who had all of these small gods, were they worshiping the same God? We can't always answer how specific cultures, what their heart was turned toward. So at the very least, we could put in front of all of those the real Snow King. You're the God of all these things. Whether cultures in sincerity try to find who is the real God and they look around and find things, or whether they make a depraved, more powerful version of themselves to worship, those things are probably different. But none of them are the real God. And so we recognize him as the real king of all of these things we see. Next. And our thoughts of you, O Lord, have been too small, too few. The old and impotent gods our ancestors once believed in were, at their best, but imperfect pictures of you, whose strength and goodness and creative majesty and wonderful mystery and love exceed those old rumors as sunlight exceeds the tiny dimness of stars reflected in a dark and wavering pool. The fairy tales crafted by our old cultures hinted at you, though they knew it not. Yet their perfect princes and blessed ends were yearnings for all that has found fulfillment in you. You are the Lord of the harvest, the grain king, the wine king, the God of plenty, the God of hearth and home. You are the hill king, the wildflower king, king of the great bears, king of canyons. You are the monarch of meadows, the lord of the lava fields, ruler of the desert wastes, the polar king, the rainbow king, the king of the southern cross, and the king of the northern lights. You are the king of the rabbits and the lord of tall trees. You are the god of youth and the god of age. You are the acorn king, the river god, the swamp king, king of glades, king of dells, ruler of all hummingbirds. You are the horse lord, the crag king, lord of the bees, king of the walruses, commander of rhinos, lord of the lightning bugs. Cave lord, mountain king, ruler of the grassy plains, god of the valleys. You are the captain of the clouds, the wolf king, the king of the cockatoos. And our thoughts of you, O Lord, have been too small, too few. For your claim over creation is vast. You are the Lord of Antarctica, the King of California, the King of the Scottish Hills, and the King of the Nile. You are the weaver of the unseen fabrics of the world. You are Lord of the atoms, the ruler of electrons, the Lord of gravity, and the King of quarks. Your dominion enfolds the earth and rises beyond it to the furthest extremes of the stars. You are Lord of the vast empty spaces. You are the King of the constellations, the black hole king, Lord of novas exploding, Lord of speeding light, High King of galaxies, King of Orion, King of the moon. And still, even still, our thoughts of you have been too small, too few. You are the God of justice, the God of wisdom, the God of mercy, the God of redemption. You are the Lord of love. All this is true, but our thoughts of you are still too few, for our minds are too small to conceive of them all, let alone to contain them. You are before all things, you created all things, and in you all things are held together. There is no corner of creation you will fail to redeem. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. O Jesus Christ, our King of everything. Amen. Let's read together Colossians 1, 15 to 20. Next. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Let's pray. Father, our thoughts of you have been too small and too few. We know this, but we also know our limitations to understand, or maybe the bigger problem, to not compartmentalize our lives and look to you only when we know that we need help. We often fail to look to you and glorify you in every detail, every sensory detail that we take in, to revel in that, to glorify you, and to point others to you through our worship of you and how we live. We know we need this. We know that we become selfish. We become only focused on what we think we need, and our thoughts of you are too small and too few. We glorify you this morning as the Lord of everything we experience, even though so many of those things have been broken by sin. We recognize you as the Lord of our hearts. You have made us. You know how we should live. You know what works for your children. We submit to you this morning the direction of our lives, the intent of our heart, our interests, and our passions. We want you to remake our hearts in your image. Help us to become worshipers. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.